Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Please take the safety buckle, pull it all the way across your laps, make sure it clicks in on the side, then give it a nice little pull and a tug to make sure it's in securely. Very good. You are now ready for the show. Greetings and welcome inside the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, Steve DeSager in for Mike. And today was just one of those days where everywhere you looked, a big heaping story was coming your way, where it was out of college football, the National Hockey League, the NBA. You know, here we are minding our own business saying, okay, tonight's going to be a night where college football is going to be king because of the postponements and the conferences that are going to go try to play, which we're going to get to in a minute. But then tonight, sports decided to say, hey, don't forget about us actually on the field and playing. The fourth longest NHL playoff game of all time was just decided. The Lightning win it in quintuple overtime over the Columbus Blue Jackets, 3-2. They take a one-game-to-none lead in their playoff series. The game goes so long that the Hurricanes and the Bruins, who I'm ready to watch, going, yeah, but it's going to be on during the show tonight. It's going to be great. I'm going to get to watch the Hurricanes and the Bruins. No. They were waiting to get on the ice. So it's kind of like, you know, travel hockey. Oh, this game's going long. We get postponed a little bit. We're going to play when they're done. The game went so long, they postponed the Hurricanes-Bruins game to Wednesday morning. They're going to play at 8 a.m. Pacific Coast time because of this quintuple overtime game. That was insanity. And you think that's all we had? Damian Lillard decided to say, oh, you think that's great? You like that? You like that little quintuple overtime game? You like that? That's pretty cool, right? Oh, look at this. Hockey, they're playing a long time. Yeah. Baseball players complain about doubleheaders, blah, blah. Goalie had 85 saves, slacker. Yeah, blah, blah. How about I'm going to drop 61 in the bubble and continue to make my team the story of the NBA bubble? Oh, Damian Lillard.
Game defended by Finney Smith. Dribbles behind his back. Comes around from behind a screen. Defended by Kleba now. Crosses over. He's going to take a three over Kleba for the tie and buries it.
Blazers Radio Network on the call. Unconscious is being kind to Damian Lillard. 61 points. He made a three late in the fourth quarter to tie the game. That was one of those quintessential Damian Lillard from 40 feet. I don't care. I'm going to throw it up because I know I can make it. So that's kind of like I think where LaMelo Ball gets it from. And he throws it up and it bounces hard off the back of the rim. And you're going, oh, it's bouncing out of bounds. Going to be embarrassing. Drops right through the hoop. Portland wins again. Portland beats the Dallas Mavericks in a game they had to have, 134-131, because the Suns win again. They've won their seventh in a row in the bubble, and these have been two best teams so far, without a doubt, Steven. Suddenly it's, maybe we got the seedings wrong.
The
maybe
Phoenix Portland, Suns, you say.
Yeah, maybe Phoenix should be seeded first in the playoffs, then Portland, and the Lakers should go in as the eighth seed. Maybe that's how it should go.
You know, at the bubble next door, they're finishing up that MLS month-long tournament, and the soccer people are saying this Orlando team barely won a game and now they come to this bubble and then they're in the finals. And here the Phoenix Suns, when's the last time they even had a 7-game winning streak? What is going on here?
It is absolute insanity in the bubble. Look, this is what we've been waiting for the games to really start to mean something. We're coming to the end of the bubble this weekend, and then we're going to have the 8-9 games, and we're all just sitting here praying it's going to be Portland and Phoenix, because these games are going to be 185-184, and we are at halftime.
And the winner bubble this weekend plays the Lakers. Remember, the Lakers are the top seed in the West.
Yeah, Blazers. Lakers are going, ooh, maybe we want to skate. Anyway, oh, boy.
You remember last night on the show when we said, okay, if it's Portland, boy, two guards could score 30 points. And tonight we said, well, one guard could score 60 if they go up against the Lakers. That got proved tonight. Again, you know, he'd had, what, 5 50-point games this year and 10 in his career. And then, you're right, he just says, step aside, here's 61 for you, and they win a close game.
I just love the lack of conscience that he has. When he's 40 feet from the basket, he just says, blanket, I'm going to shoot it. Why? Because I got 5 feet between me and the defender. Oh, okay, sure.
Because I'm open, coach. Yeah. That's why.
I was wide open. You were standing next to me. I'm on the sideline. Yeah, but I was open. I mean, I'm going to make that
well,
shot.
Well, if you're a scorer, which he is, and a shooter, you understand. There is the famous story of Wilt Chamberlain. Late, you know, he played with the Lakers for years late in his career, and they had a late game situation, and Pat Riley took the last shot for the Lakers and missed. And they go to a quiet locker room, and Wilt Chamberlain is staring daggers at Pat Riley. And Riley speaks up and says, "What? I was open." And Wilt says, "Why do you think you were open?" That is not the case with the scorers.
It is down to now Memphis, Portland, Phoenix, and San Antonio. Still all with a shot at the 8-9 seed. Memphis, Portland, Phoenix have 39 losses. San Antonio's got 38 losses, but they have a couple more games to play. So this is going to, I mean, we could have tiebreakers upon tiebreakers. We could have a tiebreaker for the 8-9 game. We may have to play 10-11 games to get to the 10-9 game, to get to the 9-8 game.
Remember, they did decide before these eight games in Orlando to finish the regular season how they would do a tiebreaker, knowing with an uneven number of total games on the season, they weren't going to go, okay, how many games under 500 are you each? No. Winning percentage is how it's decided, because among these teams that you're talking about for the 8-9 seeds, they're not all going to finish with the exact same number of games played for the total season.
No, and congratulations to the NBA for lucking into this, because the whole reason they did this was to get the Pelicans in, who have now been eliminated from playoffs.
Yeah, and they're not playing Zion Williamson tonight, and they're not playing Brandon Ingram, and they're not playing Jrue Holiday.
Yeah, we're doing all this to get you guys in, so you get in the playoffs. Yeah, sure. Yeah, but we don't really care. Oh, well, you should have told us that. We could have just sent the top eight teams in each conference. Thanks a lot. So we'll have more on the NBA as the night progresses. Huge, huge night. Like I said, you get 61 from Damian Lillard. We get a 5-overtime NHL game. But clearly the story of the day is what has gone on in college football, as what we expected went down. The Pac-12 and the Big Ten have both decided to postpone their fall sports seasons, including college football, to the spring. In fact, the Pac-12 going so far as to postpone college basketball as well until at least January 1st. What's going to happen next? What's the next domino to fall? The SEC and the ACC still say their football plans remain unchanged. They're still going forward as of now. The Big 12 as well is still targeting a fall football season. So while these meetings are set to happen over the next couple of days between the SEC, the ACC, the Big 12, right now they're looking towards trying to find a way to play. And the thing is today now, no matter what we get, we're going to have a different kind of college football season. And the fact that the Pac-12 and the Big 10 aren't going to be able to play, and it's going to get messy. Look, it sucks. All right. It's a tough decision. It's a tough day. We can't say this was something we didn't think was coming. College football was always the sport most in danger of having their season affected by COVID-19. It sucks. It really does. But why did it happen? It's pretty easy. And if you put yourself in the shoes of a school president, a board of regents, you can understand why. It's about safety and liability. All right, because schools are going to make decisions based on what's best for them. And some schools make decisions based on the fact that, boy, the football program makes us $30 million a year. Some schools make a decision based on the fact that, well, the football program doesn't really pay for all our sports like does at other places. We would kind of rather be safe with our players if there's not a big monetary benefit. So it's not all altruistic that everybody's choosing just safety over football, but it's about what schools are comfortable with taking on. And the liability aspect, I understand where some schools say, you know what, we're just not comfortable. We don't want to be that school. I understand that when younger people are going to be healthier and the percentages, they have a better chance of recovering from COVID-19, and that's certainly true, but it doesn't mean that no one can die from it or get really sick, or your coaches can get sick. You don't want the coaching staff to get COVID-19. They're older. People they come in contact with, referees, that's a real big liability issue. And if it's found at some point that, hey, one player tested positive for COVID-19 and somehow that didn't get in and they were allowed to play and other schools got infected, a coach did or a player did, and they wind up getting really sick. Mm-hmm. You talk about liability, you're suddenly that school. regents, presidents, whatever you want to say, CEOs of whatever kind of administrative title you want to put on whoever runs colleges and universities, it's about the liability they are comfortable with. And the Big Ten and the Pac-12 weren't comfortable with the liability. Is some of it breaking down across political lines? Sure they are. You're seeing that across the country. That's the way it is. It's breaking down politically the way that things have been broken down as far as opening up states. But the bottom line is, no matter what you want to say, well, we get political push here, we get comfort. It's about, how do we keep the doors open to the school forever? We don't want to have to shutter our doors because suddenly you're the school that let people play college football and X and Y happened and now no one wants to go there anymore. Nobody wants that to happen. And this is the decision that was made from the people in charge of universities. And the thing that I take away from this, Steve, mm-hmm. is that we've mentioned this before. Today you saw the disconnect that exists between the upper echelon of school management and sports programs. All right, for us, for all the sports fans, everybody who listens to us, and we all want sports. We want college football to play. We're very vibrant about it. We want football. The coaches want to play. The players want to play. We want the season. Everybody wants the season. And we get caught up in football pays for a lot of things, so you kind of have to have the season. And then you get this decision with the Big Ten specifically, in which they only met for the first time yesterday about college football and how they could play. This should show you where schools view sports programs when it comes to the university. That sometimes, yes, this football program's the entire school. Sometimes it's just an arm of the school. It's one of the things we have going on. All right. Remember back when Michigan State was going through the Larry Nassar situation and all that horrendously tragic story of what happened to all the gymnasts that were abused under his care, doctor at Michigan State. What was Michigan State going to do? And after they had their first meeting, one of the regents was quoted as saying, "We didn't only talk to Larry Nassar for a couple of minutes. We got other bigger things to talk about here."
Wow.
Which was how could you say that? But this shows you what do we got to deal with at our meeting today? Well, we have this. We have an endowment. We have this. Yeah, Larry Nassar. Okay, let's figure that out. Sometimes there is a big disconnect, which is what is important to us and important to coaches and players and what's important to the university. I mean, that look at what kind of reaction did Ohio State have with Urban Meyer when everything went down with him and the school and the coach who was accused of domestic violence, and there was evidence of it, and all the way they kind of backed away from
yeah.
it. That's kind of what it is. Sometimes it's not viewed like we want it to view as. You know, presidents don't go into meetings wearing hats and T-shirts that Nick Saban got them saying, "Hey, let's go, let's get ready to play." Sometimes it's this university. Yeah, football makes us some money, but we're not comfortable. We're going to figure out what the learning is for the students who come in, who pay $50,000 a year to come to the school. They're the ones we got to make sure are safe, because they're the ones that are going to keep our door open because they pay us to come here. So that's the people we want to make sure we take care of. It's a big disconnect between what we think is important for some colleges and how colleges value what it is. And that's a really stark reminder of what we saw today.
You mentioned so many meetings. It was in the Big 12, for example, a board of directors meeting tonight. And then separately afterwards, there's a Big 12 athletic directors meeting tonight. But yeah, the Yahoo report is that Big 12 will try to continue to play football this fall. The Pac-12 announcement is all sports in the league, including basketball, are postponed through January 1st. I wonder if they picked that date because that, if they'd said through 2020, some people would say, "Oh, maybe we can have a Rose Bowl." You know how people would. Oh, January 1st. They didn't say no on January 1st. No, through January 1st, all Pac-12 sports, that's a no. And Pac-12, you know how different region to region the virus and its reactions are. You know, it's kind of like in the world, not only government's reactions, but the virus's penetration in communities. It seems like the Pac-12 had legitimate reasons for saying we're uncomfortable with continuing the idea of starting football next month, because, as they put it, at many of their communities, that is in Pac-12 territory, the number of virus cases exceeds the levels that officials deem safe enough for group sports to play. Forget about the details of how you play a contact like a sport like this. As we brought up on last night's show, they haven't even started fall practice, that type of contact, yet. So as far as the, and I'm glad we're talking about this again, as far as the image that how could you say no to playing football, it's such a cash cow, at half the places it's not. Example, Indiana actually had a good season and got to go to the Gator Bowl. So they are paying for all their players to go travel to Jacksonville for the game, and that means hotels for the long stay and every meal while they're there and the bowl apparel, and then the staff is travel there and they pay for the band. It was $2.16 million in expenses. Their bowl payout was $2.12 million through the conference. It cost the Indiana Hoosiers $40,000 to go play the Gator Bowl. It was not profitable in the least.
It's about half the schools in college football make money, and some make tons of money. You hear that, well, college football, yeah, it does. For the most part, college football keeps the lights on, but a lot of schools, it doesn't. So you're talking about the upper echelon of universities that, when it comes to the point, money becomes the overarching.
And one thing that does help money, of course, is there are these conference networks now that didn't exist for the most case, 5-10 years ago. And so that's an extra minimum $20-25 million for a lot of these teams in money funneled through the conference. Now, let's say these other conferences go forward, even if you take a 10-game schedule instead of, say, 13 games, I assume that would mean less TV money for everybody. But like we're seeing in the other sports, you do get some TV money even if you're not selling tickets.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, phone number 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. It is the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Special delivery, Steve DeSager is in for Mike Harmon tonight. We have a lot of football on the way as we have some kind of night. As we told you, the SEC looks like they want to play. They're going to try to get it done. So does the ACC. So does the Big 12, at least for now anyway, as we get into what could actually happen in the next couple of days. There'll be some big meetings going on with these conferences. Tomorrow and Thursday are the big days for that to happen. But coming up next, we got Jay Glazer on the way. He's going to stop by, find out what kind of impact this has on the National Football League. Is this going to be something they look at? Anything we've seen, they can take away and help their season. This is Fox Sports Radio. The hits literally keep on coming from one MMA event to the next. They grow in excitement and anticipation. UFC 252 is no different, with two of the sport's most respected fighters stepping into the octagon this weekend. There is no better place to get in on all the action than with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. For this weekend's fight, DraftKings is offering new users a free shot at $1 million in total prizes. There's no better way to put your MMA knowledge to the test than to compete for a free shot at $1 million in total prizes. But if MMA is not for you, don't worry. DraftKings is offering plenty of fantasy contests for all the sports that have returned to action. Plus, new this year, DraftKings just launched Best Ball Contest for football. If you're not familiar with Best Ball, simply head to the app now and check it out. This is your call to action. Download the DraftKings app now and use the promo code JS, my initials, JS, to get a free shot at $1 million in total prizes for this weekend's UFC 252 contest. That's promo code JS to get a free shot at $1 million with your first deposit. Only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Geico Studios. Special delivery, Steve DeSager in for Mike Harmon tonight. And a big day today in football across the board, as we saw two Power 5 conferences postpone their college football seasons to the spring. Three conferences still waiting it out, figuring things out. Their instinct and their inclination now is to play the SEC, the Big 12, the ACC. All right now at this point want to keep playing. They're going to go through their respective doctor recommendations, medical recommendations the next couple of days, and we'll get more information there. But the Pac-12, the Big Ten have decided to postpone, and they're going to play sometime early in the 2021 season. Joining us now on the hotline to break it all down. You know, we joked around about it last week, but now that it looks like Fox might be airing some XFL games, Dwayne Johnson buying the league, Jay Glazer will now be the commissioner and head coach of one of the XFL franchises. Jay, you're going to be a busy guy, man.
No, I told you, I'm the vice president of stuff.
Oh, well, you're going to do that, too. I mean, you got to wear a lot
of
hats,
it.
Jay.
Vice president of stuff, that's it. Vice president of stuff. consulting capacity. Vice president of stuff.
That's the big gig to have, is being a consultant. Like, that's the one job I wish I could have. Because I think, what do you do? You make a phone call and you're done for like 2 weeks. That's it.
Sign me up.
All right. So, hey, so obviously this is not the National Football League, but clearly this is going to have big goings on with what the NFL does. What's your takeaway, what you saw from college football today?
You know, look, I kind of tend to agree with the guys, thinking it's safer for them to be in an environment where they are, you know, they have some restrictions and they have more guidelines and what they can and can't do. When you, you know, if you're, you know, you don't have this in place and guys don't have to follow certain guidelines and aren't constantly, you know, reminded, and aren't constantly being told to be careful for everybody else, you know, who's this? Just because you don't have a season doesn't mean they're just going to stay home. You know, and I do think it's a lot safer when people around others that can, you know, try and make sure that you're more responsible. But again, we keep talking about this virus, man. It has its own set of rules. Like, we really don't know what we don't know when it comes to this. And I understand, obviously, the medical part of it. Listen, I wish, you know, my gripe is always the lack of information and the lack of how much misinformation's out there. And man, if the Red Sox pitcher didn't go on IR recently with, you know, with his heart issue, mm-hmm. I wouldn't have known that, you know, 10 to 20% of those who have the virus have, you know, myocardia. I wouldn't have known any of that. And, you know, there's so much being told. You know, friends of mine who've had COVID, they're being told completely, like, different things from different doctors, from literally one side of the spectrum to another. I had one friend who tested positive. Doctor said, hey, you're good to go. You can go to the epicenter now. You can't get it again. I had another friend who had it. Doctor said, hey, you could definitely get this again. You can get another strain of it. You know, don't really buy into the antibody test. The point is we don't know what we don't know with this thing. The only thing that I'm saying, in my opinion here, is the more structure you have, where they put structure in place, for you to resist the temptation to go off and do your own stuff is probably better.
When you take the NFL into account now, seeing Major League Baseball, they had to have a pause, and now you're seeing college football. Some schools are going to try to play, and some schools aren't going to play.
Well, baseball some of these players have done dumb stuff.
Yeah.
You know, they really are. They've done dumb, selfish stuff. And where the NFL has a leg up on everybody is they've been able to see the mistakes that other people have made, the selfishness or the bonehead decisions they've made to go out and party, to go to a strip club, you know, for the NBA and baseball. And they've been able to use it as a teaching tool for themselves. You know, they've been able to now, it's not just the coaches, but these players, I can tell you this, it's getting really ingrained home. Every time something happens in baseball, football shows it to all their players, the entire team, and there's, you know, probably a lot. Again, I can't speak for baseball, I don't cover, but I know there's definitely a lot of pressure inside NFL locker rooms to be smart and to not go off and party and, you know, sneak away from the team and, you know, go somewhere else so they can go out and nightclub. But now let's see what happens during the season. That's right now, because training camp, man, they grind you. You don't have much time to go out and do what you want. But, you know, during the season when they have more free time, you know, hopefully they will not be selfish.
Jay, this is Steve. Can you talk about the effects of if there's college football in the spring? There's the obvious sentiment that the NFL prospects would just sit out, but also we're hearing conferences saying, no, for player safety, we're not going to play now. Shouldn't it be player safety considered to not put the students through two football seasons in 9 months?
Well, you know, I think it's by conference, right? Certain conferences go in the fall, certain conferences go in the spring. I don't think you can have two of them, but, you know, also you're right. Like, people who are going to basically lose their senior year of playing because of how it times up with the draft, this is going to have just massive, massive implications. Unless the NFL says, you know what, let's push everything back to June or draft. And even then, man, it's they're not going to be able to do as much work as you normally would. They're not going to be able to. It's just a smaller window. But again, we're at different times. It's nothing's ideal here. You know, it's not like you can call up the virus headquarters and go, "Come on, virus, you're killing us. You're screwing us over here. You know, let's change up the rules here a little bit." We can't do that. There's nobody manning the virus headquarters.
Well, I know the vice president of stuff should be manning the virus headquarters. That's
there
what
you go,
doing
vice
with
president
the XFL.
Of stuff. Vice President of Stuff. I'd be on it.
Jay Glazer, NFL on Fox, insider with us here, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. And now, one of the stories
today. I give people accurate information. At least I always try to.
That's true.
I like what we're getting.
Yeah, you would be completely accurate. I mean, you'd be doing a lot of other things, too, but you'd be completely accurate.
Damn right.
Hey, let's get to this because this was kind of interesting today. Coming off all the stories in COVID-19, that some Cowboys players are now trying to form their own training camp bubble before on-field practices start on Friday. This was reported earlier today. You know, players are going to report, set up their summer home next to the Cowboys practice facility, and there's going to be kind of a training camp bubble for some of these players before the practices start. Can some kind of bubble work in the NFL, Jay? I mean, can this work even though it's not? We're not taking everybody like the NBA and putting them all in one spot?
Listen, the more people stay just amongst themselves, the better they are. So if you have five people that do it, it's better than having zero. If you have 50 people do it, it's obviously better than what it'd be. And that's, you know, the Saints are trying to do a similar thing. I'll tell you this, you know, they always were looking to build an Omni down. It's incredible. It's a five-star, you know, hotel. If I was one of the Dallas Cowboys, I'd be over there also. And yeah, it's everything's right there. The facility is, man, there's really not much like it, you know, compared to anything else. They're as these teams kind of expand their practice facilities, like the Vikings have done, the Cowboys have done, man, there's so much there for you. And I think it's just smart. I think it's smarter that they could give them the quote unquote option. You know, I mean, I say quote unquote option because it's voluntary with quotes around it, but it's smart to do because it just minimizes exposure. Here's the bottom line, guys. Whoever's healthiest this year wins. That's what happens.
You can follow him on Twitter, at Jay Glazer. That is at Jay Glazer. And his new title, Vice President of Stuff. It's going to be in his Twitter bio. You can ask him all kinds of questions there. Don't forget vetsandplayers.org, the website. Unbreakable, doing great things as always. Jay, as always, buddy, thanks so much. Be good. We'll talk to you soon.
Appreciate you. All right.
Great stuff there from Jay Glazer. Look, he's right about the health part of it, Steve, because it's really, we're seeing that leach into the other sports too, that the teams that can deal with adversity the best when it comes to players that are either sick, out on the COVID list, not on the COVID list.
Cubs have done well.
Yeah, these are the ones that are going to do it. And really, we're seeing it more in baseball than we are in the NBA and the NHL, because clearly those sports have got it right with the bubble. We're not even talking about COVID-19 anymore. But baseball, you're seeing what teams can deal with it, what teams can deal with adversity. Certainly the Marlins, for the most part, have been able to deal with it so far, as they're having games postponed, but they're still playing well enough, even though they lost a series to the Mets. That's okay. But you're seeing some are doing okay, and some are. Look at the Reds. You know, the Reds, I thought the Reds were going to start out. They're coming out like gangbusters, man. Those big three pitchers, this is a team that can really do some damage. But what happened? They start out the season not knowing if some guys are going to be able to play, that have to be in quarantine, potential positive COVID-19 tests. And you see they started out like, well, listen, we really still don't know what's going on here. So you're seeing the teams that can handle this new normal the best, both mentally and physically, are the teams that are doing well. Are they all the most talented teams? No, but they're the teams that are handling this the right way.
And it's interesting that he makes such a blanket statement about the NFL specifically that way, the healthiest will win. The NFL, there are so few games. And if you do, well, like we've seen the idiots in baseball, unhealthy things. I mean, Mike Clevenger comes to mind with Cleveland. We talked about him last night. Wow, you are really costing your team, because not just a missed game, perhaps, but then you're shorthanded and have to play a game, and that's the L in the standings. And again, with 16 games, and that's at the most 16 games this year, let's be realistic about the 2020 NFL season. Yeah, health is going to mean a whole lot team to team.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Now, a little bit more on this Giannis play, which is really crazy. So what Giannis was mad about was in a previous down court situation, the Giannis was posting up down low on defense, and a shot was coming in, a jumper was coming in from outside, right around the 3-point line. And Giannis is kind of by himself, and he's looking for potentially looking to box out. And Mo Wagner comes up from behind him and turns his back and his butt to him, and just like kind of tries to steamroll him and knock him down. So Giannis's back is to this play, and suddenly Mo Wagner's back and his butt is just, you know, backing into him very hard, and that knocked Giannis down. And this is a play that, look, when you hit somebody from behind like that, you could have got really hurt. You know, that's why you're not supposed to do that. He had a couple of steps head start in which he was able to knock Giannis down. Now, I see him doing it. I see his right knee could have buckled. I mean, that's a dangerous, dangerous play. So then back down the floor, as Mo Wagner walks up to him, not taking any crap from him, that's when Giannis headbutts Mo Wagner, and this is him trying to get even for what happened. You can see him say it's things to the effect of, I'm not going to allow that to, I'm not going to let that happen. He stood up for himself there. I think if when the NBA looks at this and they see what happened with Wagner and why Giannis is upset, I can't see them suspending him for the playoffs. That would be really, really,
really
difficult.
Not even one playoff game.
It would be. I think it would be so difficult because now you're taking a star out,
headbutting an opponent.
It's tough. If it was a Zinedine Zidane headbutt, I could say, okay, well, this is big. But this was more, I'm walking towards you and our heads are going to collide, because his head gets close like that. Like it happens when players try to bow up on each other. I'm not making an excuse.
His forehead went forward. It was a headbutt.
His forward did go forward, but it wasn't one of those WWE, oh, and here comes
it
the headbutt.
It wasn't Zidane in the chest. One. You're correct. But it does, you know, that you point out stuff going on before. It reminds me of, there was a Kareem Abdul-Jabbar game. You remember Kent Benson had won a national title with the Indiana Hoosiers. His first NBA game, he elbowed Kareem in the stomach. Kareem doubles over and then proceeds to take a punch at him and breaks his own hand, as I recall. And so there was something people had, when they were showing the highlights of it later, people had to show the entire thing because one precipitated the other. You're talking about one action and then the other with the headbutt.
Yeah. So, again, this is something where there was something that happened before it, and you can see it, and it was kind of a dirty play. So I would think that Adam Silver is going to say,
oh, boy, if he misses that first game and somehow the Bucks lose and then somehow the Giannis is out.
Okay, what we're going to do is say that what we saw before, we're going to fine Giannis and make him pinky promise that that's never going to happen again. That's kind of how I think it's going to go down.
By the way, apparently 5 years ago, Kevin Garnett got a one-game suspension for headbutting Dwight Howard.
Oh, and also, hey, let's not forget, happy five-year anniversary to Geno Smith and IK Anunoby. 5 years ago today, Anunoby punched Geno Smith in the jaw, breaking his jaw, which goes down in the annals of most embarrassing things to ever happen to the Jets. That's clearly a top-five moment.
But that's a long list, though, isn't it?
It is. It is, but that's in the top five, though. I mean, there's a list of a top 100 things, and you could say, boy, you missed a lot. But this is in, like, the top five. I mean, really, a special teams player breaks your quarterback's jaw because he owes you money, he hasn't paid you? I mean, that's what happened.
You know, forget the whole top 100 NFL Network. You could do this. Bottom 100. Just on one franchise.
Yeah, we could. You know what? I could write that down. Call Fox Sports 1. And it could be a four-hour thing. Great.
This is a multi-part series in the making.
I like that. I'll just patent that idea. Worst of the Jets. Well, that's kind of that's saying the
same
thing.
That's an awful lot of footage to obtain.
Twitter at @AbbottaFresca. Phone number 877-99 on Fox. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Steve DeSager in for Mike tonight. Coming up next, how I would try to convince the other schools, if I was the SEC, hey, come play with us. This is the argument I would make to say, come play college football this fall with us. Blank everybody else who doesn't want to play. The argument I would make, coming up next, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, Steve DeSager in for Mike tonight.
Hey, Steve.
When clearly college football now is fractured into fractions. They're breaking down like fractions. We had the Big Ten and the Pac-12 today announced they are postponing their fall seasons, college football, to the spring. Meanwhile, the SEC, ACC say we still want to play. We're looking forward to that. And the Big 12 is saying right now we're feeling the same way. So right now we are really in a stasis of, okay, almost half the Power Five schools are not going to play. Really, that third school is going to be the domino. If one of the other conferences say, we're going to postpone and play in the spring, then everybody's going to postpone and play to the spring. If three of them say they want to play in the fall, then I can see them making a run at it, and I can see us having fall football. But just two conferences and trying to, you know, grab teams here and there, oh, Nebraska wants to play here and Penn State wants to play here, I don't know that there's enough organization in to get it done. But, Steve, if I was trying to make the argument of why college football should play, if I was the SEC, the ACC, the Big 12, I would say, listen, this is the argument I would make to say, come play with us. Let's play this fall.
Okay.
First thing I would say is there is no guarantee the COVID-19 situation is going to get better. And really, that shows you about us and about our lack of being able to get on top of the COVID-19 situation. But
behaviors.
Facts are facts.
Yeah.
Facts are facts. It may not be any better until we get a vaccine. So why not try it now instead of postponing the future and turning all kinds of sports and making it muddy and making it difficult for everybody?
Okay, still a little iffy, but I'm still listening if I'm one of the other conferences.
I would say it may not be now. Don't we all think the kids are safer with us than they are not with us? Now, this gets into a real... Now, I disagree with this.
That's the Nebraska argument, by the way.
There's no way you can tell me my kid is safer with the football team than with me at home. There's no way you can tell me that. There's no way. So, wait. So, he's safer away from his parents, away from his family, but he's with a bunch of kids that when they wind up going out at night, they can do whatever the hell they want to. Okay, that's safer. I disagree with that, but that's what I would say. I would say they're safer with us because we can be able to keep them safe. We can support them. We can support them in the classroom with messaging about what's going on with
COVID-19. They do have good support staff. I'm with you on that.
We are your best option. You know, it was you know, hearing Doug Gottlieb talk about it the other day, going, people forget everything that's at everybody's disposal. Nutritionists and coaches and all the things top to bottom. That's how I would say. I would say this is why it's safer to play. We have everything safety, and you can we rest assured that we are doing everything possible to keep your son and keep these players safe, that we can play college football. We're going to adhere to the guidelines and make sure that we test as often as we can. But the main things I want you to know is that there's no guarantee it'll get better, and they're safer with us than they are in other places.
That's actually another selling point. You should stay on that point. You can get more testing if you're with us.
Yeah, I mean, it's there's many things that come off of this where you can push the safety and staying away from COVID-19. Look, we'll get tests all the time. We're going to make sure he's not out with anybody else other than the football team. We're going to make sure of that. Now, can you really be sure of that? No. Just like you can't be sure your kid is not going to sneak out of his bedroom window at 11 o'clock at night when everybody goes to sleep and then goes out and then tries to come back. But still, those are the arguments I would use to try to say, let's play college football. But mainly the one that gets me, I agree, is saying, who knows what's going to get any better? Well, okay. And we're doing the right things. We're doing the safe things. So let's try to go and play. That's what I would use.
And you can't argue against that, quite frankly, because what you're saying is it's not a great situation now, and it may not be a great situation in the spring, right? That's the conclusion. Mm-hmm. Therefore, why don't you enter into this not-so-great situation with us now? It's not the strongest argument, but I feel once again like Adam Silver when he was trying to plan this NBA bubble. I'm going from a list of really bad options. I'm going to pick one of the best bad options. That's basically where we're sitting.
Yeah, there's no great solution. There's only the best of what is there. And you got to pick the best of what's available to you. Sometimes that's what it is. Twitter at How About a Fresca. Phone number 877-99 on Fox. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, Steve DeSager in for Mike. Coming up next, the silver lining to having a split college football season if we have some in the fall and some in the spring. This is Fox.